Welcome to a podcast of The Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Hi, I'm Jerry Goodspeed. I'm here at the Utah State University Extension Education Building at the Ogden Botanical Garden. And today I'm here to talk about a problem that we're seeing, an invasive species that is moving into our area and becoming more and more of a problem to homeowners and to landscapes. And that problem is the garden gnome. Now, the gnome, we believe, was introduced into our area from England. They're very attractive at first, a little bit of a cheery smile, if you will, but over time, they become very invasive into the garden. You'll find them creeping up, or showing up in the herb garden, next thing in the vegetable garden, and pretty soon in the annuals and the perennials. And once established, they're very difficult to control. Here in the garden, in mid-February, and in Ogden, we're about a zone 5, a zone 4, and you can already see their cheery little red hats starting to poke through the ground. Now, this is very typical of our area. They're first, usually about the end of January, 1st of February, you will start to see this red cone just after they've germinated. Now, they're very hardy, and this is why we see them germinating so early in the spring, or late winter.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago, in between Andy's Deli and Lido Banquets, and just a pierogi's throw away from the Polish capital of the Western Hemisphere. It's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green gardening and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees. And by Recycled Granite, featuring eco-friendly split stone veneers and handmade products by individuals with disabilities. Go to recycledgranite.com. And by Birchold's Floral Gift and Garden Center. Get green, let's get growing. He's so green, he takes his life in his hands every time he walks across an intersection. Here he is, Mike Novak.
One more time. Hey, good morning on, a cold Sunday morning. Funny things happen on cold Sunday mornings, Mr. Denny.
Yes, I do. Indeed, they do.
Yes. Yes, I do.
Like me on the phones.
That's right. Dennis Sheeter on the phones. That's okay. I'm glad you're here.
I got your back, buddy.
I appreciate that. I'm looking around, and there ain't nobody else here. We got a text from Carol. What'd she get, a flat tire?
That's what she said. So she got a flat tire. She's going to the old CTA.
But then I got a text from Rob, who apparently is picking her up from the bus.
There we go. Team Novak sticking together. That's great.
And any folks listening happen to be in the area and want to pick up my team,
yeah,
and bring him to the studio, that would be nice. That'd be great. So they will be here a little later. But the show must go on.
Get that bell.
There we go. I almost missed it. I did. I missed it the first time.
Speaking of Carol, you still caroling?
We started. I mean, I just did. You know, I was going to talk about that, and I will talk about it with Rick DeMaio a little bit. But the last 3 days, I have been out at the Morton Arboretum, and I have been caroling at the Illumination exhibit out there at Morton Arb in Lyle, Illinois. And I'm just going to say it's really cool. And I don't mean cold as in what it was last night when we were out there singing, and it was one thermometer said 17 degrees last night. But it's still fun. You bundle up, You walk around, you see the lights, and the way that they illuminate the trees there. And it's not your standard fare. You know, when you think of tree illumination, you think of the twinkle lights wrapped around it. This is beyond anything that you've seen before. It is just really, really cool. If you get a chance, go out to the Morton Arboretum and see illumination tree lights at the Morton Arboretum. And the Frozen Robins, that's my caroling group, will be there.
You are Frozen Robins.
We were last night.
Yeah.
And, you know, we did 3 weeks in a row. Or 3 weeks, 3 days in a row, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then watch the weather change over 3 days from kind of rainy and warm 50s in the 50s on Thursday to 17 last night. Yikes.
I got my fingers crossed waiting for that DeMaio report, hoping it gets a little warmer.
I hope so, too. So who have we got on that line?
Well, it's a lady who's with LaSalle County. Her name's Diane Gassman. She said she contacted you, and she said she'd be on hold if you wanted to talk about what she sent the email to you in regards to.
Oh, I'm...
What better time than now, huh?
Yeah, I guess. And if you want to get Keith Cross, who's going to be on the...
Yeah, I tried contacting him, and I'm going to keep trying him.
Oh, he wasn't picking up?
Yeah, maybe his
okay, well, he's
phone
also,
line froze, but I'll keep talking.
It's possible, but he's also on Facebook. If you want to go to Keith Cross, he's the guy who wrote the song Homegrown, which I played on the show several weeks ago.
Yeah, I remember that.
And Keith Fathom Cross. If you go to Facebook, you can find him at Keith Fathom Cross.
Okay.
It maybe he'll respond to a Facebook message, but keep trying him at home. I'm assuming I have. Let me check here, because sometimes, you know, I've been doing double and triple duty here, so maybe I got the number not quite right. But let's see. I'll go into my computer and see if I can find that. It's this exciting. And we'll see if we can get Keith on the phone, because he wanted to talk about his song, and I'm really, really happy to have him here. All right, let's see if I got the right number that I put down there. It is... Yeah, that's the correct number. Oh, you're getting him. Okay, cool.
On line two, the one and only Keith Cross.
Oh, that's great. We'll be with him in a second. Later this morning, Tom Shepard, and then... Rick DeMaio weather, of course, 9:45. We'll talk about the freezing. And then in the second hour, a little bit of everything. I hope you join us. And if you've got questions or comments, one of the things is this amazing article, and I think I'm going to read the whole thing, that's in the Sunday Review of the New York Times. It's called The Year the Monarch Didn't Appear. And it's just sad. And it's one of those things that makes you sit up and take notice. We've talked about it on the program for months now about monarch sightings. I mean, the butterfly. I saw exactly five this year. I counted them. Five monarch butterflies. The iconic butterfly of North America, I would say, is the monarch. And I saw five, and a lot of people were like me, saw one, two, maybe didn't see very many at all. And there's a lot of reasons for that. And in the Sunday Review, Jim Robbins of the New York Times, Jim Robbins writes about it. And I was so struck by the article that I may just go through the whole thing because it's just unbelievable. All right. And other stuff, things that have come across my radar screen or on my radar screen, including a hearing next week or on Tuesday, this coming week, actually, Tuesday at the University of Illinois at Chicago, UIC, about new fracking regulations in Illinois. So, Diane, you're going to have to hang on for a second because I need to go to my guest and bring in Keith Cross from the Left Coast. Keith, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Mike. How's it going?
Good. You're up early, and I appreciate it.
Actually, I thought I had missed the call, man. I heard two phone rings. I'm like, who is that? Why are they trying to you know, then my wife's like, yo, your interview. So I had to get up and drink some water so I wouldn't have morning.
You're like me, man. It's just it's like, oh, yeah, I guess I was supposed to be there today, wasn't I? Or, you know, whatever the meeting or arrangement was. Well, I'm glad your wife is on the ball.
Yeah, she's always on the ball.
This is Keith. Well, okay, you have to explain to me Fathom. Why Fathom as a middle name?
Man, I'm a hip-hop artist, man. We all have, you know, I wasn't born with that middle name. name. You know, or maybe I was born with that middle name. You know how Bruce Wayne says he doesn't call himself Bruce Wayne in his own head? I don't call myself Keith Cross in my own head. I call myself Fathom.
Oh, in your head.
In my head.
Yes. Okay. Okay. I get that. You wrote, you do a lot of stuff. I was looking at your website, and you describe yourself as 100% soul vocalist, full-blooded MC, aspiring urban farmer, scholar, and brother to all that exists.
Yeah.
Amen. I mean, that says it all, doesn't it? Okay, I have to get this out of the way, too, because you're a student, and you're studying what? You're at Stanford? That's a little community college there in California, right?
A little community college. Yeah, that's one way of putting it.
What do you study? And you're getting your PhD.
Yeah, I'm getting my PhD, and it's a long story, but I guess the short of it is education. I'm getting my PhD in education, but I'm studying my major is race, inequality, and language and education, but that's a way that allows me to really look at lyricism as a cultural practice. And so, you know, I'm really like, I guess, like more like of a music and cognition and language and how the three of those things kind of work together. And it kind of fits, you know, with homegrown in a weird sort of way, in the sense that I'm looking at, like, you know, just your homegrown resources. You know, I mean, me being a rapper is how I got through college the first time, and how I got into college the second time, because I wrote all of my, you know, my GRE words and rhymes and learned them. So, I mean, just using what you got to get where you want to get. And, you know, I'm trying to really do some research into, I guess, my own culture, not from just like a, you know, culture standpoint, like, yo, appreciate this. But no, there's some real hard, heavy cognitive stuff going on, you know, with this craft. And so I just want to really, you know, dig into it.
Well, you know, it sounds like maybe you're preparing for the future in case this music thing doesn't pan out. You can all bet you'll have a day job. Is that kind of thing going on?
You know, it's funny, man. I wouldn't say it was that. You know, I mean, in the meantime, it can be considered a hustle, you know, a present day hustle. You know, I mean, I'm good at school, so I can do school, and this is a place where I can hold my own. But, you know, honestly, I wouldn't say that I'm preparing for the future. My way of preparing for the future is making sure that I know how to grow some food.
Yeah, you know, that's a really cool thing. We talk about that here on the Mike Novak Show, and we have said many times here that that's a skill that people should start to learn to be good at, because it might come in handy at some point, especially, and you're talking about being an urban farmer. Now, do you have your own plot of land where you do your growing?
Well, at the moment, no. You know, for me, it's like it's a dream, and I got food out on the balcony. I live in an apartment on Stanford's campus. You know, I guess technically the nickname for Stanford is a farm, so I can, you know, me and my wife joke about me being a faux farmer because I got this vision, and, you know, people, you know, I run into people all the time. Hey, man, I love the song, and, you know, I love what you're about. Like, you must be able to teach me how to farm. I'm like, man, I'm trying to get there myself. You know, but, I mean, I'm growing some tomatoes. I got a little tiny little mango tree that I grew from a seed. There's no mangoes on it yet.
Yep.
You know, got some mung beans and, you know, a few other things that you can grow out on a balcony. You know, but I'm just trying to figure it out. But, I mean, cool thing about living on this campus, at least, they, you know, they call it the farm. There's trees and stuff, growing fruit and stuff. So you can go around and, you know, pick a lot of things. So.
Well, I'll tell you what, for folks who don't know what we're talking about, I got to play some of the song, okay?
That's all right
with
me.
Is that all right with you? You don't have a problem? You're gonna slap me with the licensing here or anything?
No. Yeah, you won't have any problems here.
And I noticed that I love what you say on your website. Given the content, to charge for it may seem hypocritical, so if you want a free copy, just let me know. And yeah. and you put your email address there, which is keithcrossmusic@gmail.com. And I've got all that information on my website, mikenovak.net, if you go to this week's show. So I'm going to play a little bit of this so folks can know what we're talking about. I played it. I don't know if you heard the podcast, Keith, but I played some of it on my show several weeks back.
I checked it out. You know, it was good that you told me how to, you know, jump right in and check it out real quick. So I was like, okay, I'm in the middle of like my last problem set, which is crazy. I'm doing this linguistics minor, but yes, I did hear.
Wait, you're doing what's your major again? Is education and linguistics?
My major is education, but my minor is my PhD minor is in linguistics.
Oh my God! So what problem are you trying to solve in linguistics right now?
Well, it's the same thing. You know, I'm studying lyricism, so I need to be. You know, I need some heavy machinery to be able to tear it apart. So I need to, you know, have the whole science of language behind me.
Uh huh. Okay, yeah. Well, let's see some of your language here. Okay. This is Keith Fathom Cross, and the song is called Homegrown.
When I say I grow trees, it's funny this economy is based on greed. Poor people don't farm who got mouths to feed. Some folks save money, I save seeds. I don't water my lawn or spray weeds. The money I do spend on watering crops, I get right back because I don't shop for groceries. I got breakfast, lunch, and dinner in the yard, so that recession ain't hitting me as hard. My stock grows exponentially. What? The Wall Street Journal never mentioned me. Man, I got that homegrown.
Okay, I'm going to jump back in here because I want people to, if they want to hear the rest of that song, they gotta go download it themselves, all right?
And yeah, go get it.
Yeah, go get it. And
KeithCrossMusic.com.
That's right, KeithCrossMusic.com, and that's KEITHCROSS Music.com, and it's $1, all right? It costs you $1 to do it, and if you have no money, as Keith says, he's willing to give you a free copy, but you know what? You guys can afford $1 to download this song. So I'm hoping you get a little bit of bump today and you get a few hits on there. I ain't exactly Stephen Colbert, but maybe you'll get something. You're for a guy who's growing on his balcony, you're talking the talk pretty good. How do you know about all this?
Well, you know, back to my nickname, man. Like when I was, I guess about 17, and I decided I was going to be a rapper. And you decide you want a name that embodies what you're really going to be about. You know what I'm saying? Like Fathom means to penetrate to the truth of the matter. You know, so honestly, it just started. You know, you sit around and you're thinking about stuff. You know how sometimes you have a conversation with somebody and you teach yourself something in the middle of the conversation?
Yeah.
And, yeah, I was having a conversation with somebody about just like how 20 years ago, Apple might have cost you 10 cents. But if it was a good snack that would hold you for an hour, it would, you know, it'll do the same thing now, except now the Apple might cost you $1.10.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like, wouldn't it make more sense to just invest your energy in the seeds as opposed to in the dollar, you know? And it was just like, aha! You know, around that time, I was tinkering around with guitar and only knew how to play bar chords. And you know, long story short, Homegrown was probably written in a day. And, you know, it was one of those songs, and I just knew it was probably the most important song that I'd ever written. And
it's really kind of taken off for you, hasn't it?
Yeah, man, but it's funny. Like, I was telling my wife, it's kind of like when you plant something in the ground, honestly, because I wrote that song 5 or 6 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, and I mean, I wrote it. I was still in L.A. at the time. It was before we moved up here. I wrote it. I performed it a couple of places. You know, I had a more like a skeleton of a recording because, like, I play music, but I'm mostly a singer and a rapper. So, you know, my ability to sing allows me to communicate with musicians, but I wasn't formally trained. So, like, Homegrown came out of my mouth and out of my head, but not so much out of my hands. I want to give some props to my my brother Justin Fitz. So all that instrumentation that you hear was like, you know, me singing him the parts and him playing them.
Oh, you see, know? I was going to ask you about that, whether you got a real band. So that's your brother behind you on the backup.
Yeah, that's my brother Justin Fitz, this dude out of East Palo Alto. You know, he's just incredible. Like, you spend your whole life looking for somebody who can... for me, I needed somebody who could hear what was in my head without me necessarily being able to articulate every single thing. And I met this dude, and it just really came together. We had to work. We were working over in East Palo Alto with this group called the Mirror Music and Arts Project, and we were on this Irvine grant where both of us had to produce some work while we were in these kind of mentor positions with youth artists.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had to contribute to the album. And so we were able to, you know, take this, basically this song that I had sitting around and been wanting to do something with for like 3 years and make it a reality. And that's what you got. And so then the momentum kind of took off and I hooked up with, this guy out of LA named, Ron Finley, who's doing these TED Talks on urban farming. And honestly, like, that's how you guys heard about me, was like, Ron, you know, somebody was like, yo, there should be a gangster rap song on urban farming. And he's like, yo, I haven't heard of Keith Cross. And when he did that, then things went around and then like a little spike and then it went down again. And then somebody else heard about it on Upworthy and then there was another spike. So it's like watching a tree grow. It makes no sense to like sit there and try to watch a tree grow.
Yeah.
But like all of these things started to happen when I just said, okay, I'm gonna just let the song do what it does. You know, I'm gonna just dig into this college thing and try to grow my own food, you know, on my balcony, and I'm gonna let the song do what it does. I was, you know, there was a time when I was trying to plug the song, trying to call radio people like, you should play this, and now, you know, now you calling me. You know what I'm saying? Really, you know what I mean? But it makes sense if I think about it, like food. You know, you can't sit there and just watch a peach tree grow. You can if you want. But, you know, it's better to just give it what it needs and just, you know, let nature take it, run its course.
That makes a lot of sense. And you're right. It is, it's like planting that seed. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever heard the thing that the first year you put a plant in the ground, okay, how does that, the leap, creep, do you remember?
Sleep, creep, and leap.
Right, sleep, creep, and leap. So the first year it sleeps, second year it creeps, and then the third year it leaps. And it's kind of like your song, too. After several years, bam, it's out there.
Yeah.
So, well, that's a great story. And I hope it continues to do very well for you, Keith. You don't get a lot of songs like this, especially on the rap side. As I wrote on my own website, if you go to MikeNovak.net at this week's show, most garden tunes that I hear, I think, are pretty lame. I don't know why that is. It's just they're just not interesting. And at least this has got a little bite to it.
Oh, well, I'm glad it's doing what it's supposed to do, man.
Yeah.
It's one of those just kind of came to me, man. I'm really happy about how it's doing well. And I'm really behind what it means. And I'm hoping a lot of people will just like feel the same way.
And I'm going to teach you, okay, and you know how you said you have conversations with people and you learn something? Yes. Sometimes you teach yourself and then sometimes you learn from somebody else. Okay, I'm going to teach you one thing right now. You talked about the apple seed and putting a seed in the ground. Do you know that you put an apple seed in the ground, you won't get the apple that it came from? You get something completely different. With apples, you got to graft it. You got to put that graft, the branch of the tree, on a rootstock, and that's how you grow your apple. Because if you just put the seed in the ground, it'll be something completely different. They don't come true to seed.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So you learn something new today about the apple seed. So in a sense, the apple seed's not quite the right metaphor for you, because you don't know what's going to come up when you put an apple seed in the ground.
Interesting. So you don't get an apple 100% of the time.
Well, no, you get an apple. It's just that it won't be exactly like the apple that, you know, let's say you got a nice, big, beautiful yellow apple and it's real sweet. Well, the apple that you get from the seed might be small and bitter and red or brown or something like that, where it's really not like what you got, the apple that you bought or that you ate that you thought was so wonderful. So that's what you need to know about apple seeds.
Yeah, I read that about figs. You said figs, you can get a really nasty fig tree.
Bet you can. Keith Cross, keep on keeping on. Great stuff. Thank you so much for being on the show and getting up early.
Thanks for having me, man. I really appreciate it.
And continue your studies. I want to know when you get your PhD. I like to surround myself with smart people if I possibly can. And again, folks should know you can go to KeithCrossMusic.com. KEITHCROSS music.com. You can download Homegrown right there. You can listen to it right on the site as well, which is great.
There's some soul and some hip hop, conscious hip hop there too. So
yeah, I know. You're right, and there's other stuff too there that I hope people will take advantage of. When you write another one like that, let me know. Okay.
I will let you know, and thanks for so much for having me, Mike. I really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. And listen, thank your wife for me for waking you up so that you knew you were going to do your interview this morning.
You know I will.
Okay. you take care.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Lawn or spray weeds. The money I do spend on watering
crops, I get right back because I don't shop for groceries. I got breakfast, lunch. There he goes, Keith Cross. And in the meantime, the team has shown up here, and I'm happy to have them. Carol, you had a little incident this morning?
I did. I walked into my garage and found a flat tire. And
oh,
since
no.
I'm not, you know, that tire-friendly with changing them.
That adept at raising a 2,000-pound hunk of metal?
No, but, you know, there is a bus right by my house, so it worked out.
Oh, and Rob, glad you're here, too. I guess he kind of picked you up.
Thanks.
Partway, did he?
He did.
Team Novak, assemble.
Yeah, he did. But I was looking forward to listening to Keith Cross, so I just caught the tail end. So I'll listen to it on...
I'll play you the music later on.
Well, I heard the music. It's great. So that's why I was excited.
Well, we should get Tom Shepard on the line because he's just got a few minutes. And by the way, I'll let you know that, the weather outside is frightful. But the radiator is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let's grab a copy of the November-December issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. Yeah, it doesn't scan and it doesn't rhyme, but this is a commercial after all. And regardless of the fact that temperatures will only be flirting with the freezing mark in the next few days, there's plenty to read in that magazine that will warm your gardener's heart, like the story about how to put together a great winter container. As my editor, Carolyn Ulrich, writes, making a winter container is a little like cooking. The ingredients may be the same from year to year, but it's how you put them together that makes all the difference. And she makes it easy by giving you plenty of ingredients from which to work and how to put them together. Her little secret is something called Mitsumata branches. You might want to pick up the magazine to find out exactly what she's talking about. Then there's my column on the inside back page. You could pick up the magazine and read it, but you might not understand exactly what I'm talking about anyway. And that's my secret plan for world domination. Get a subscription to Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. Go to chicagolandgardening.com or call 888-265-3600, 888-265-3600.
ComEd Smart Ideas presents The Power of Small Changes.
Help! I'm a light bulb left on in an empty room. My energy is being wasted.
Fear not. I can help. There you go.
I'm saved.
Be a hero.
Hooray!
Save energy. Visit ComEd.com/home savings to find discounts and money-saving tips, like switching to compact fluorescents.
Visit ComEd.com/home savings.
Hooray! ComEd, powering lives. This program is funded by ComEd customers in compliance with Illinois law.
The Mike Novak Show is sponsored in part by ComEd's Smart Ideas. Discover instant discounts and money-saving tips at ComEd.com/home savings.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I don't want you to be left out. Here's what I'm talking about. Each month, more people turn to Natural Awakening Chicago to improve their lives than any other health or wellness magazine. If you're a green, natural health, or wellness business, you should be part of the leading sustainability resource in the country. Natural Awakenings is packed with information that our readers use to find the products and services they need to live happier, healthier lives. Natural Awakenings is available for free each month throughout the city and north and northwest suburbs. We're placed in more than 1,100 area locations, ensuring the right eyes read about your products and services. We're also online at nachicagonorth.com. We're local, we're independent, and our readers will help you grow your business. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. That's 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. Findings of researchers with the U.S. Forest Service and Davy Institute, published in the journal Environmental Pollution, the findings of researchers with the U.S. Forest Service, they calculated the health and economic benefits of air cleansing urban forests in 10 U.S. cities. And they found out something really fascinating. They found out that trees save lives. They actually save lives, reduce hospital visits, and reduce the number of days taken off work. How do they do it? Well, mainly by sucking pollutants out of the air. Economic benefits, mostly from reduced mortality, range from $1.1 million a year in Syracuse, New York, to $60 million a year in New York City. To talk to a certified arborist at the Care of Trees about, well, how to save your life, save a life, be healthier, call 800-508-9466. 800-508-9466. Write it down and call that number for a free consultation. If you call today, leave a message and your call will be returned tomorrow. Or see thecareoftrees.com. The Care of Trees, a Davy company. Their business is people and their love for trees. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. We go quickly to the phone lines and bring in Tom Shepherd from the Southeast Environmental Task Force. Tom, good morning.
Morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing? You've had a busy couple of weeks, haven't you?
Well, we sure do. And in about 20 minutes or 25 minutes, we've got a demonstration that's going to begin outside of one of the plants that's storing the pet coke.
Yeah, you know, that's why I wanted to get you on in the first hour. I know you're a busy guy. You got lots of stuff going on this morning, and this rally is going on at 10 o'clock, and I wanted to alert people to that who might be on the south side and might want to get involved. It's called People Against Pet Coke. They're holding a protest march, meeting at 106th Street and Burley Avenue next to Riverfront Tavern. And they're marching to KCBX South, the KCBX South site on Burley Avenue, It's hard to even know where to begin about what's going on in the last week. I thought the most interesting comment was from your executive director, Peggy Salazar, who basically, and I saw it was in a Trib article, just can't believe all the attention you're getting. She's kind of amazed because for so long you guys have fought so hard and basically nobody's been paying attention. It's really tough to fight and get people to notice that, well, the southeast side of Chicago has been a dumping ground for all kinds of stuff for 100 years. And now you've got these pet coke piles that appeared on the banks of the Calumet River, and suddenly everybody's covering it. In fact, you've got not only local coverage, but you've got national coverage. You've talked to some national people, haven't you?
Yes, we certainly have, Mike. We got a call the other day. In fact, I think it was one of the people that was on the line at the Recycling Coalition meeting said that he heard us while he was in New York. So it's going coast to coast. But it is a coast to coast problem, Mike. And it doesn't just start or end here on the southeast side of Chicago or at the BP refinery in Whiting, Indiana. It's there's a whole movement about the tar sands that starts up in Alberta, Canada, the things that are going on there, the horrible environmental desecration that's occurring there. The pipeline issues to bring that stuff all the way across the country to the refineries and the problems that they've had with those. There have been ruptures, bursts, runaway trains, explosions, everything imaginable or unimaginable, I guess you would say. So the whole industry is a problem, and we get the tail end of it with this pet coke product that comes out of the refinery after the tar sands are the crude oil from the tar sands are refined.
Yeah, you know, you're right, Tom. You talk about this, and you talk about how some of the other effects of this industry are very dramatic: explosions and pipeline bursts, and so forth. And what you've got on the south side of Chicago is more insidious. It's these piles where the pet coke drifts and it ends up in people's homes and in their lungs. You know, you go out on these tours and you're covered in the stuff when you get off of that, aren't you?
Mike, I have to do an eye wash after going out for a couple hours on either on the river or through the neighborhood. You know, your throat is sore after just a couple hours. And this is, and imagine how people live 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, just a block or two away from where this stuff is stored, with prevailing winds that typically blow out of the southwest and bring that dust right into their homes and onto their bodies.
Yeah, it's just terrible. And I know you've got a short time here, but what's amazing, as Peggy mentioned, is people paying attention, including people like Mayor Rahm Emanuel and Attorney General Lisa Madigan, who have filed a lawsuit against Beamsterbor, which is one of the companies that's storing this stuff. The KCBX is under scrutiny by the U.S. EPA, and even the Chicago City Council's gotten involved. What's that all about?
Well, it's about time, Mike. We've been trying to contact the Department of Public Health of the city of Chicago. They have not been very responsive. Their answer to us, and you're a city dweller, so and I read about and listen to you all the time, so you're familiar with some of the ways that they operate. Their reply to us was, well, call 311. And, you know, we tried to have inspectors come out. We tried to have the commissioner take a stand on this, and that was our response to call 311, which was ridiculous. Finally, we've gotten the attention by putting some pressure on the alderman. The alderman finally is taking some action. He had come out with us on two tours of the area, saw firsthand what was going on. He sure heard from the citizenry, because we've had two community meetings now, and actually three, with overflowing crowds of angry people who are yelling to get the stuff out of here. So the alderman's heard it loud and clear. There is going to be a bill, an ordinance, a hearing tomorrow, in fact, and the stuff is happening so fast it's hard to even keep track of So we'll be downtown tomorrow and just see what's what here. We've got copies of the ordinances. There are two ordinances that have been proposed, and it's very peculiar.
Yeah, why do you say it's peculiar? Well, I think I know why, because one of the ordinances it would ban the Petco completely, and that's Alderman Burke, right? And it's and it's kind of hard to know why Alderman Burke has inserted himself into this process, isn't it?
Well, that's true, and Peggy Salazar did talk to the alderman on Friday to get a clarification of that, and the alderman's reply was that this would fast-track it coming out of the Finance Committee. Alderman Burke had a committee meeting scheduled, and that this was the quickest way to get it on the docket for the city council, for a full city council, to have a look at it. Still, we need some clarification on just which proposal is going to advance, because one calls for the outright prohibition of any storage, distribution of pet coke on the southeast side, and the other talks about containment and water suppression, stuff that hasn't worked so far.
Yeah.
If we might back up, just so, I mean, there may be listeners that when we're talking about pet coke, it sounds like a cutesy, pretty name. We've got Pet in there, and then, of course, the coke. And it is not a pretty thing, Mike. It's petroleum coke. It's the residual from the tar sands that are being processed in Whiting, Indiana. And it's a dirty, black, toxic material that's very dusty and blows across people's homes when a big gust of wind blows up.
Right. You're right. It's you say pet coke, and people might have the wrong impression. It really is nasty stuff, and it shouldn't be stored there at all. I agree with the outright ban, and I'm glad that the US EPA, the Attorney General's office, the mayor's office are all involved in taking a hard look at this. But yeah, what you worry about, and I'm sure you do, is that they'll say, well, you know, we'll cap it somehow and everything will be just fine, when it really won't. So it's going to, as you say, things are moving very fast, and sometimes they move too fast, where you don't get the right result because it's sleight of hand. And I do worry about what's going on in city council as well. So I'm glad you're going to be there tomorrow. Anything else you want to tell me before I let you go here?
The rally starts at 10 o'clock, and you mentioned the bar over there, and I do want to know, the bar does not open till noon. So if anybody thinks about coming in there and getting a hot toddy first, that's not going to work.
Yeah, you picked a good day to march. And we're talking right now. This is all coming together right this second, because the march starts at 10 o'clock. In 15 minutes, People Against Pet Coke, meeting at 106th and Burley, next to Riverfront Tavern, which Tom says won't open until noon. And then they're marching to KCBX South on Burley Avenue.
I did want to add, Mike, if I could, that we have go to our Facebook page, Southeast Environmental Task Force. We have a petition up there that's got about 1,000 signatures so far. We're going to be doing a petition delivery within the next couple of weeks. We also, on December 6th, at the Under the Bridge Studios on 100th and Ewing, we're going to have a photo gallery of what the Petco looks like up close and personal. We've got some beautiful shots, and we're going to be rallying people there and calling them to action. So there's a number of things that we've been posting on the Facebook page and updating it daily.
Good. Yeah, folks, go to Southeast Environmental Task Force on Facebook, and you will see that. You can also, if you go to a search engine, you can find the blog for Southeast Environmental Task Force. But as Tom points out, on the Facebook page, they're keeping people up to date on a regular basis about everything going on, including that photo exhibit called Welcome to Pet Coke Town. And that's next, December 6th at Under the Bridge Studios. That's, give me the address there. You told me how you're supposed to say it when you're from the south side.
Right, yeah, well, I'll have to say it real slowly for north siders and suburbanites. It's 10052 South Ewing Avenue, and that's practically the last block in the city of Chicago. About a block away is the Indiana border, so it's 152 on Ewing, E-W-I-N-G Avenue.
And that's how you say it on the south side, 152 South Ewing Avenue in Chicago.
Right.
I love it. All right, Tom, I'm going to let you go. Thank you so much for your hard work. And, you know, we will continue to follow this, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot more going on in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Mike.
All right, take care. Happy Thanksgiving, Tom.
And same to you. Thanks.
All right. It's the holiday season, and one of the coolest things about the holiday season is Small Business Saturday next week, November 30th. If you're looking for a cool, local, small business, look no further than Bertholdt's Garden Center in Elk Grove Village. Next Saturday, there are special in-store discounts and a coupon for your future purchases. 20% off on Christmas decor, 50% off on Christmas ornaments, and that's before the holiday. But that's where they're just getting started. On Saturday, December 7th, stop by for Bertholdt's Christmas Open House. Santa, yes, I said Santa, and his reindeer, don't forget your cameras, and maybe a couple of carrots, they will be there from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Saturday, December 7th. There are also great store-wide sales, and you can enjoy hot cider, coffee, and cookies. Bring the whole family and celebrate Christmas with Bertholdt's. Bertholdt's Garden Center, 434 East Devon Avenue in Elk Grove Village, just west of O'Hare Airport. Look for the iconic windmill out front. Go to bertholdtsgardencenter.com, B-E-R-T-H-O-L-D-S, gardencenter.com, or like them on Facebook. Bertholdt's, get green, let's get growing.
Hi, this is Ron Calvio from Mighty House. Are you looking for a new ride? Looking for a cool ride? Looking for a ride that you can plug in so you can flip off the guy at the gas station? Well, here's your chance to get one for as little as $40. The Illinois Solar Energy Association is raffling off a 2014 Chevy Volt, and only 3,000 tickets will be sold. So how do you win? Go to illinoisolar.org and click on the link to the Chevy Volt raffle. You can buy one ticket for $40, two tickets for $60, or four tickets for $100. All raffle proceeds will fully benefit the Illinois Solar Energy Association, a nonprofit working to advance solar energy development throughout the state of Illinois. The winner will be drawn at the ISEA member meeting on December 7th, 2013. Again, that's illinoisolar.org to buy your tickets and to get all the small print details.
Is pain keeping you from enjoying gardening? Dr. Bonnie Flaster at River North Wellness Center has gentle and effective techniques to get you out of pain and back to doing what you love. Here are two quick tips. First, remember to stretch. Second, use a timer to make sure you take breaks. Come see her at River North Wellness Center and find more tips at rivernorthwellness.com or call 312-642-7545 to make an appointment with Dr. Flaster and get back to feeling good.
Trying to weather the housing market? Consider replacing your windows and siding. Remodeling Magazine says they're some of the nation's most popular projects today.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling and energy needs. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. And, you know, I am a Jeepster for Rick DeMaio's weather forecast. So let's...
A Jeepster?
Yeah, a Jeepster.
How does T-Rex and a Jeepster fit in with the morning weather?
I don't know, but I happen to be a Jeepster for your forecast. That's all I can say.
You've been dipping into that homegrown stuff you were talking about earlier.
No. Let me play this for you then.
What up, though? Shout out to my homeboy Ian Neal in Cardiff for breaking the world's records for the biggest vegetable Man, I want to tell you something, man. When I do my show in Cardiff, I want you to come backstage and see me, because I do vegetation myself, and I want to know your secret so I can show you my vegetables and see if you can grow that into a real big vegetable. So Ian Neal from Cardiff, come see your boy Snoop Dogg. I got two tickets for you when I get to town. You dig?
You dig? That's Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, yeah. How someone as Snoop Dogg could make it this far in life says a lot about the United States, doesn't it?
I guess it does. You know, what is going on here?
Oh, man. This... talk about November, huh? I mean, we always talk about the month of November and March being your shoulder months where you can have just about everything happen, and not only in the matter of a month, but a matter of a week. And if you remember last Sunday at this time, you know, the temperature was 50 degrees warmer at this hour. That's phenomenal. And here I am getting ready to go to a Bears game, which...
Again?
No, not today. Not
oh,
today.
You mean last week. All right.
Yeah. When in reality, Mike, I mean, think about it. The Bears, should they have ever even started that game at noon, or should they have done the right thing and, like, delayed it to, like, 3 or 4 o'clock? I think we all know the answer to that one, right?
Yeah, well, I don't know what they thought they were going to get in that time, but they managed to get in, what, about a half a quarter? Something like that?
I mean, they did a great job of warning people of what was going to happen. I mean, we're sitting there in the stands going, okay, we know that we have to, you know, evacuate. But what happens if this tornado that's ripping across, you know, parts of central Illinois begins to, you know, make a little bit more of a left turn? How do you – it's one thing telling people to go into the concourse. It's another thing to tell people to go all the way down into the, you know, into the parking garage.
So yeah.
They really lucked out with that. The evacuation, or I should say, the removal of people from the stands, because we didn't really evacuate. We just went into the concourse. Actually went pretty smoothly. But what was amazing is walking actually from the Harrison Red Line stop over to Soldier Field, and a friend of mine who's another meteorologist, looking at the radar and seeing this thunderstorm supercell on the ground moving due northeast, and we're thinking to ourselves, does anybody actually know what's going on or what's going to happen? And my heart goes out again, Mike, to the people in the Washington area, down around East Peoria and Pekin. I mean, you know, the death toll was only one in that area. It was more a little bit further south, but these are people now with no homes, and here we are wishing each other, you know, happy Thanksgiving. And not to say that we shouldn't do that, but I still think that, you know, people need to not forget about what happened down there and donate to the Red Cross and donate to your favorite charity and not, you know, not forget that, you know, those people down there have nothing. They literally have nothing. Their houses and their lives were blown away. And do you know that they actually found pieces of people's like car receipts and birth certificates on the property of Lewis University, 110 miles away. Isn't that amazing?
Yikes. Yeah, that is. Yeah. That is. And you know, it's interesting. You did say last week, Rick, I mean, you prepared people for this, and I was impressed that you were, you know, you knew what was coming down. I was kind of surprised that you decided to go to the Bears game after all. But
it's a free ticket.
But the one thing you didn't quite nail, you didn't... I don't think you thought it was going to be an F4 tornado.
Oh, God, no. And I don't think anybody did, Mike. Matter of fact, when that supercell developed just to the south and east of Pekin, it pretty much went from a non-rotating supercell or non-supercell thunderstorm to one that was rotating and an F4 in a matter of 9 minutes. And those people in Washington had only a 5-minute warning, not only because it formed so fast, but it was moving at 55 to 60 miles an hour. And the amazing thing about it, I think we've all seen the aerial images of Washington down there. There were almost 250 homes destroyed and probably 100 homes just completely flattened. And the fact that only one person lost their lives, obviously there were a lot of injuries. We forget about that number.
Yeah.
We always focus on the fatalities. 125 people were injured. It was a miracle. It really was. There was something that either a lot of those people were either at church or at home in a place where they were actually able to remain safe, or maybe the debris just blew right over the top of them. But one thing that we still have not been able to do in the field of meteorology, and I was at the Weather Service office on Tuesday, and I was mentioning to them, I go, this system seemed to slow up a little bit. And they all said, oh, yeah, it looked like it was going to be used to us on Friday. then it was going to be just on top of us on Saturday. By Sunday morning, it's like, holy smoke, we're right in the prime of this. So in between an outlook and a watch and a warning, all those things said, you still need one ingredient to get us through situations like that, and that's just pure dumb luck at that point.
And then we go a week later, and I mentioned earlier, I was out at the Morton Arboretum doing my caroling thing. Man, it was brutal.
Yeah, you know what? And looking at area temperatures this morning, we dropped to, I believe it was 11 above official temperature at O'Hare. Nowhere near the record. Record is still in the lower single digits. But looking at the way this air mass came down from the Arctic, we had temperatures in the single digits for highs over North Dakota and Minnesota, and dropped to minus 17 in Brimson, Minnesota, Saturday morning, and this morning down about 15 below in parts of northwest Wisconsin, which is basically right next to Minnesota there. But this is one of the most impressive cold air masses around here, this cold this early in the season, in over 20 years. And we actually have another little chunk of cold air.
When you say in 20 years, because they did this on Channel 5 last night and it made me crazy, they said, it's the coldest it's been in 20 years. And then they had to backtrack and say, oh, no, we met in November.
Well, the coldest so early in November, right?
Yeah.
There's a bunch of different ways you have to do it. And oddly enough, the reason why this cold air is pushed southward so much was partly due to Tropical Storm Melissa over the North Atlantic, which developed late. Had a very large circulation to it. It went basically north-northwest, almost had like a weird sandy track to it. But, you know, no one talks about it because it obviously fell apart, and you probably can get in touch with your friend there up in Labrador or Newfoundland, I think. And
Halifax, yeah.
Yeah, Halifax.
In Nova Scotia.
In Nova Scotia, right. And the fact that this storm moves so far north and west, actually on the backside, morphed into another storm and pulled some cold air southward. So we always look sometimes at how the tropics affect our weather here, even in November, and this is certainly not completely directly related, but you can probably say at least 50% of it was related to Melissa.
Wow. See, and people don't think about those connections.
No, that's because, well, it's not easy. That's up for us to do. So I know we only have a few seconds here. So bottom line, cold today, highs right around 25 degrees, normal is about 45. We'll get a little bit of cloudiness overnight that'll keep us above probably 15, but a little bit of cloudiness and maybe a couple of flurries tomorrow, mid-30s, and then it looks like a dry day on Tuesday before a second cold front comes down and gets us back into the upper 20s and lower 30s for Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Good weather for Thanksgiving, but basically cold.
All right, we'll talk to you next week, Rick.
Have a happy.
Yes, you too. Enjoy.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees.
And by Recycled Granite, featuring eco-friendly split stone veneers and handmade products by individuals with disabilities. Go to recycledgranite.com.
And by Birchold's Floral Gift and Garden Center. Get green, let's get growing.
Here he is again, Mike Novak.
To pay our share, the time has come. A fact's a fact. It belongs to them. Let's get back.
Welcome to the second hour of the Mike Novak Show on Frigid November day. It's just amazing talking to Rick DeMaio, and you deal with this for this weather for a couple of days, and you almost forget that it was just a week ago that we had those tornadoes rip through Illinois, and everything else that happens in between. Things go so fast. Wow. So, and I still haven't even gotten my bulbs in the ground. Do you know that, Rob?
Yeah. Me too.
You okay? Good. I'm glad somebody else. I've been thinking, okay, I'll just grab a warm day, I'll get out there and slam them in at some point before it's way too late. Because you know, you could probably get it's still November, still get away with that.
Sure.
I 1 year, I put bulbs in the ground on January 15th. It was January 15th. We got a warm day. It really warmed up. It was like in the 50s or something. And I ran out there with a shovel and put stuff in. And a lot of it bloomed. It came up. Not all of it. I mean, I wouldn't tell people to do it that way. That's not what they say in the books. You don't wait until a warm day in January to put your bulbs in the ground. But
a warm day in January, the ground may still not be thawed out enough.
Yeah, or it might not have frozen all the way yet, depending on, you know, what the temperatures are like that year. But folks ask me, well, I didn't get my bulbs in the ground. Should I just wait till the spring? I say, you know, you wait till the spring, those bulbs are going to be desiccated. They're going to be done. So you might as well try to get them in now. That's my view on it. And because you're probably, I suppose you could pot them up in soil indoors or something. They're not going to bloom for you. I mean, you're probably better off getting to the point where if there's a warmish day and the soil isn't completely frozen, get out there, slam them in the ground, because you're probably going to have better success with that than trying to get them to overwinter and then doing something in the spring and they're just not viable. So there's my there's the gardening tip of the week. I put a bunch of stuff on my website, and I call it Things on the Radar Screen. And I'm going to get to the story about the monarchs in a little bit because it's disturbing.
It's frightening.
Did you see that story?
Yeah, there's
the New York Times.
Two monarchs were spotted this entire season.
In the Sunday, but there's more in this story. In the Sunday Review, New York Times Sunday Review, called "The Year the Monarch Didn't Appear." We're going to talk about that. But there's also, if you go to the website, I've got links to some of these stories. A power company, wind power company, has been fined for killing birds. Some eagles and some other birds at a Wyoming wind farm. Now, I understand you have to be careful about any source of power. BP was fined, $1 billion for all the wildlife it killed with its spill in the Gulf of Mexico. So there's no contest between the damage caused by oil and the damage caused by wind power. However, for the first time, a power company has been fined for killing birds, and that's one of the stories. I got an interesting article from Pat Skatch, who fills in for Rick DeMaio when Rick's not available. And it's a story called "Global Warming Since 1997, Underestimated by Half." That can't be good news. And in a story you really should read, if you've got the time, it's worth it. It is about leaks in our gas pipes as we get into this subject of fracking and gas and that sort of thing.
That one was particularly scary.
Did you read that story?
Yeah, it's a long read, but it was good, and it was very basically natural gas is not any better of a bet than any of our other bad bets.
And it is a story called Uprising. Phil McKenna wrote it, and it's about this guy, Bob Ackley, who's a libertarian. You know, not a tree hugger by any stretch of the imagination, but his job was to measure gas leaks in urban areas. He started in Boston, and they'd drive around, and they did it less. It was real old school, you know, not so much with monitors and stuff. He would look for dead trees, dead grass, and then they would check for gas levels in the soil. And almost always they'd be right. They'd be through the roof. And it's partly our aging infrastructure that is releasing all this gas and therefore methane into the atmosphere. And then he ends up teaming up with an environmentalist to do this in a more scientific way and examine what it really means. So, yeah, that's a story I think you really should read.
Let's go to the phone lines right now and bring in Diane. And Phil, are you there?
Yes, we are.
Good morning. I'm glad. This is unexpected. And your last name again, Diane? I'm not seeing it on the screen properly here.
It's Gassman.
Gassman. Okay. And I appreciate that. And I'm glad you called. I wasn't expecting you. But you've got some news coming out of the Utica area, I take it.
Yeah. More newsworthy sand items. We are in the midst of another hearing here in the Utica, Village of Utica. They are attempting to annex another sand mine, which is about just 2 miles north of the one they annexed here about 18 months or 2 years ago when we called you the first time.
Right, and you were on the show, and we've talked about this issue in the area. It seems like every time you turn around, there's going to be another frack sand mine in LaSalle County. So what is it about this one that is particularly disturbing?
Well, first of all, they've acquired about 2,000 acres. So it is going to be a very, very large sand mine. Right now they are attempting to just annex in and get special use permit for about 500 acres. But the concentration of sand mines in this area, I mean, within this 2 mile radius, we now have 4 sand mines. So, and 3 of those are just recent.
Yikes.
Yeah.
There's actually 7 of them just in the Ottawa Utica area. And that's what is disturbing. You just, you know, how much of this silica dust is going to be a problem coming off the trucks.
Well, we've talked about that many times, and what it just seems as though this is happening unabated. What have you been trying to do about this? Are the folks out in the LaSalle way just watching these sand mines pop up? What sort of action are people taking right now?
Well, we've been going to the hearings and trying to plead our case to the village, and we've also talked to the EPA. But you know, the companies know their laws, and they pretty much are, you know, sticking to what the laws of the EPA have, or the restrictions or the policies that they have. So it's difficult to come up with something that you know, because you know we're looking at what's going to happen with all these sand mines together. The Sierra Club has helped us out, and they've suggested that we ask for some monitoring of the air and water. And so that's one thing that we're really pushing for.
And I think what's happening is a lot of these sand mines are promising these jobs, and you know, with the economic climate where they are, and we're sort of a depressed area. I think we're at 3% unemployment rate here. So the promise of 30 jobs to people is huge. So these companies are coming in and promising, you know, 30 or 40 jobs. And, I mean, to the people in this area, that means a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not looking at how many jobs we're losing when you're taking away 2,000 acres of farmland, you know. People who are trucking, fertilizing. I mean, there's a lot of jobs involved in farming as well, and not to mention the loss of tourism. We're very concerned about that.
And I think the one thing to think about is that once the sand mines come in, that farmland's gone forever. You can't go back and use that farmland ever again for farming.
That's true. How is this personally affecting you, Phil and Diane Gassman?
Well, it does affect us quite a bit. And you know, to be honest with you, initially when we got involved in it, it's right across the street from us, and I think we were just trying to get our property values guaranteed. But the more we looked into it and read about it, and you know, the more dangers and the more concerns we had as we learned more about it.
And we on the show several weeks ago had a filmmaker on who did a documentary called The Price of Sand. And you guys are beginning to understand what that means right now.
We could actually be starring in that film right now.
Yeah. Oh, that, well, that's sad. It's fun. It's funny, but it's not, you know. You know,
really, if it wasn't happening to us, I really would not believe it, because it is just like a freight train out of control. I mean, every time we turn around, there's a public hearing, or, you know, there's another same company looking to move into the area. And at one time, this was about a year and a half ago, they told us that there were about 12 sand companies looking to move into LaSalle County, looking for property and searching. And you know what? At first we thought that was crazy, but now, 2 years down the road, we have four new sand companies. So I'm beginning to think it probably was pretty much on target.
And when you say you have four new sand companies, they don't have just one mine each, I assume. Or are you saying four new mines, or four new, when you say four new companies, how many different mines have sprung up over the last 2 years?
Four.
So you are saying that. Okay, when you say companies, you mean mines. All right.
Four separate companies, right. And then this one would be the fourth in 2 years.
Yeah.
And it's all within 2 miles of each other.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And more on the way. From what you understand.
Yes. So, and of course they acquire this property under assumed names, and you know, you really don't know until the very end. You know, you get 10 days notice, and then boom, it's done.
And the farms are getting three times the price of what the farmland is normally worth. So, you know, they're getting a good price, so really can't blame them for wanting to sell, because they're making a really big profit off of it.
And I was looking at when you guys were on the show last, and it's almost exactly a year that we started. You were on Sunday, November 18th of last year when I last talked to you.
Yeah.
And it's now the 24th of 2013. And in that time, it's, you know, you were sounding the alarm, but it hasn't. Nothing's gotten better. It's only gotten worse, hasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, they're keeping coming. So, and you know, even though we've been in opposition, and really the sand mine across the street from it hasn't even started production yet, because we have gone to ask for hearings from the EPA. We just went last month to the. They wanted a water discharge permit. And we raised a lot of opposition and a lot of concerns to that. So that is still being
reviewed
by the EPA right now.
So we have, you know, we had them in court for a while. I mean, we're still looking at a lot of different legal options, but it's very time-consuming and very costly.
And when you say we, it's you and friends and environmental groups. Who's the we of this?
Well, we have a group called PUSH, Preserving Utica's Surrounding Habitat. It's called PUSH.
Okay.
So it's a group of homeowners in the area and surrounding area that are, you know, attempting to, you know, try and look at this a little more carefully. And so there's a group of about 40 of us right now.
And the best you've managed to do so far is just hold things up in the courts. And while the EPA looks at these proposals, and you know, the frac sand mine outside of Starved Rock State Park is still in the courts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, at this point though, do you have any hope that, things will go your way?
We always have hope.
Yeah, I know. But realistically speaking, what does it look like?
Well,
realistically, I think that they're going to get their permits eventually. I think the EPA, it's hard to, because I think they're under a lot of pressure to okay these. And one of the things that we have concerns about is they dug up some coal, and. You know anything about the coal, the old coal that comes up, it, as soon as it hits the air and the water, it's real toxic. And when we went to the hearings, they said they didn't think there was any coal there. So that was a real concern for us. And then they have to dispose of that properly, and that's that's an issue right now.
Very costly, and really, they denied any coal in the area, and we have a huge coal pile outside of our home now, which does have an odor, and so they now have to do something with that because we drew attention to it. So we have been trying, but again, it's, you know, you're fighting big business, and it's slow going, very expensive.
How are you going to possibly pay for this? As you say, it's expensive and it takes time, and that's how these companies win. They just hang on and hang on, and then they finally get their way.
I think that's what they're trying to do to us right now. They're trying to spin us into submission. And one of the things that we have to do is, if we wanted to carry on with the suit that we have, is that we have to come up with $100,000 because they want to deposition everybody, and it's a pretty complicated case, but we're looking at some other options right now.
We're talking to Phil and Diane Gassman, who are in LaSalle County, which is kind of frac sand ground zero right now. It's just sad to say. Getting back to just the two of you, let's say this goes forward and the sand mine begins operation. Do you see yourself continuing to live there, or are you going to get out?
Well, there are a group of us have our homes for sale out here, and they have been for sale for about 18 months. So we would like to be able to leave when it's no longer a place where it's desirable to live. But unfortunately for us, we have sand mines to the north, south, east, and west of us that have all been annexed and around us, and we were not annexed. We've been left in the township. So we're unable to sell our home. And if we do sell it, it's probably going to be to one of the sand companies for a very reduced cost. So you can see our situation is rather grim as far as being able to leave.
And that's something we talked about on this program before, that the strategy now is don't go to the county. Don't try to get the sand mine approved that way. Just have it annexed by whatever city is there. And that just makes it a lot easier for them, doesn't it?
Right. The small municipalities are where they're going because, you know, they can go through easier and with the promise of some money. And actually, the one that's being annexed into Utica right now, the one that's out north of town, you know, the Utica's sitting and, you know, wondering if they don't annex it into the village, there's another town that's adjacent, LaSalle, will annex it in. And they'll get the money, you know, the tipping fees per ton. So, yeah, it's a no-win situation. Someone is going to annex, you know, the mine because it means money.
Yeah.
And jobs.
Well, it's a sad update, but I appreciate you calling in and talking about this. What's next? What's for you guys?
Well, there's another hearing December 4th regarding the annexation of this new mine. So that will be December 4th. And we'll see what happens from there. As far as what we plan to do, we plan to keep, you know, moving forward. And, you know, with our issue across the street here, we are looking at other legal options. So we continue to move forward.
And if they're going to put the sand mines here, we want to try to have them as safe to the people that live around here as possible.
Yeah. Where is that hearing on December 4th?
It's at Grizzly Bear Grand Lodge in Utica.
And what time?
And that's
I think it's at 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock, I believe.
And under whose auspices is that? Your group that's holding it, or
no? That's the village of North Utica.
Oh, okay, Village of North Utica. Okay.
Yeah, and actually, if anybody wants to look today in the paper, the Chicago Tribune.
I'm sorry?
Well, there is an article today in the Chicago Tribune regarding the sand mine issues in LaSalle County, so it's a good article.
Oh, good. I'm glad you pointed that out. I wasn't aware of that. We will track it down. I'll tell you what we'll do is I've got Rob and Carol here, and we'll certainly post it on Facebook and Twitter so that folks know about it, and hope that people take a look and educate themselves to the issue, because these sand mines are transforming literally the face of LaSalle County right now. and the area there around the Illinois River. Listen, Phil and Diane, thank you so much. And please keep me posted, okay?
All right, Mike, thanks a lot. We'll give you a call back when anything new comes up.
Yeah, and I hope it's not another year.
All right, thanks, Mike.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. That's just one of the issues coming up. In just a second, I'm going to address yet another about the area. And your phone calls are welcome at 773-763-9278, 773-763-9278. We'll be back in just a sec.
ComEd Smart Ideas presents The Power of Small Changes.
Help! I'm a light bulb left on in an empty room. My energy is being wasted.
Fear not. I can help. There you go.
I'm saved.
Be a hero.
Hooray!
Save energy. Visit ComEd.com/home savings to find discounts and money-saving tips, like switching to compact fluorescents.
Visit ComEd.com/home savings.
ComEd, powering lives. This program is funded by ComEd customers in compliance with Illinois law.
The Mike Novak Show, sponsored in part by ComEd Smart Ideas. Discover instant discounts and money-saving tips at ComEd.com/home savings. It's time for Dr. Wally's Tip of the Week, brought to you by Bertolt's Garden Center in Elk Grove Village. Wally isn't a real doctor, or is he? Anyway, Wally says that you shouldn't water your houseplants with water straight from the tap. And I agree. Chlorinated water is not good for plants. Try this instead. Fill a container with tap water and leave it uncovered for a couple of days before using it. Now, it does two things. One, the water will go to room temperature, so you don't shock the plants. You know, if you take a shower, you put the cold water on. No, your plants don't like that either. And then the second thing is the chlorine will evaporate from the water. And this is what I do at home. I fill a plastic gallon container, usually a milk jug or a similar container, and I let it sit for a day or two before using it on my indoor plants. Now, it's a great way to run water until it warms without wasting this precious resource while giving your plants the safest water available. You can learn more from Dr. Wally himself at Bertolt's Garden Center, 434 East Devon Avenue in Elk Grove Village, just west of O'Hare Airport. Look for the iconic windmill out front or go to bertoltsgardencenter.com. Bertolt's, get green. Let's get growing.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I publish Chicago's only local magazine dedicated to healthy and sustainable living. Natural Awakenings is available monthly, and we provide the latest news and trends about healthful living, including alternative and complementary medicine, fitness, good food and drink, healthy kids and families, and even healthy pets. Natural Awakenings also talks about local sustainability, gardening and environment, energy conservation, and green living. We feature local news and a calendar to help you stay connected. I can guarantee that each month you'll discover a new health tip, a tasty recipe, a service in your neighborhood, something that makes your life better. Natural Awakenings is free and available throughout the city and suburbs or online at nachicagonorth.com. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. That's 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. Do you know about the Davy Institute? Since its founding in 1880, Davy Tree has helped define the science of tree surgery. Company founder John Davy believed tree care is a science, and the original business plan included a technical development and research department to bring the leading science of the day to their clients' property via field service teams. Today, the scientists and technical advisors at the Davy Institute guide field service teams in diagnosing and prescribing the best products, application procedure, and pest and disease cultural practices to be used at the client site. In addition to pathology and materials expertise, Davy teams develop new technologies to help governments and large commercial properties inventory. To talk to a certified arborist at the Care of Trees, of course, their parent company is Davy. You can call 800-508-9466, 800-508-9466, or see thecareoftrees.com. The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. One of the things going on this week is a public meeting about new fracking regulations in Illinois. It's going to be this Tuesday, November 26th, from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the University of Illinois at Chicago. That's UIC, 726 South Halsted Street in Student Center East, room 302. That information is on my website. One of the people who knows something about this is Dr. Laura Chamberlain, and she's with Frack Free Illinois. Dr. Laura, how are you this morning?
I'm fine, Mike. How are you doing?
Oh, okay. I'm staying warm because I'm inside.
Exactly.
And
I
so,
wanted to encourage those push people. Just keep fighting because we're seeing moratoriums on frack sand mine and fracking. You know, gather steam. Local moratoriums in cities and townships and counties all over the country. Colorado just voted on three of them in their some of their localities. So we're picking up steam. And Hawaii just banned fracking.
Yeah. But you know, you're seeing the moratoriums, but if the city is already annexing these properties with the express purpose of putting sand mines, that's a difficult situation.
Right. They have to pressure the city.
Yes, they do. Yeah. And
the moratorium. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm glad to hear that. And I kind of wish it would happen in LaSalle County at the moment.
Yes.
But to tell us a little bit about this, I assume you're going to be at the hearing, the public meeting on Tuesday. And, of course, it comes 2 days before Thanksgiving. I hope that's not a way to suppress the attendance.
Oh, it is for sure, Mike. We know it. The IDNR fracked us. There was no question about it. We had notified them with petitions months before that we wanted the hearings. And so we were doing that because we wanted to work in concert with them and make sure that they could be held at a time where, you know, was conducive to public input. And so 2 days before Thanksgiving is absolutely a sign that the IDNR is not going to be working with us.
And yeah, I wanted to point that out, that the hearing is being held by the Illinois Department of Natural Resources, right?
Yes.
And when you say we had asked them, are you talking about the various groups who are fighting fracking in Illinois?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So Frack Free Illinois is Move On and PDA, and we're a coalition of community groups, and we work with Illinois People's Action and Central Illinois and Southerners against safe,
right.
Southerners against Southern Illinoisans against fracture in our environment. There are other groups that are involved as well. Food and Water Watch has come out against fracking, Environment Illinois. There's many, many groups around the state that are working on this. So, yeah, we sent them letters, we sent them petitions, and we asked them for three hearings. When we first got our notice about the hearings, we had ours scheduled 2 days before Thanksgiving up here in Chicago. And we had asked them, expressly asked them for one in Central Illinois around the Peoria, Bloomington area, and then one in Southern Illinois around the Carbondale area. And those were left off the list. There were only two hearings initially, one in Chicago and one in Rend Lake and near Mount Vernon, kind of mid-south. And so we had to put some political pressure on the IDNR to even pop up with the hearing in Central Illinois and Southern Illinois, which they did eventually do, but we've had to put pressure. So we're not very happy with the IDNR at all. The rules are extremely extremely insufficient. And the regulatory bill had given the IDNR kind of broad latitude, a mandate to protect the public health and the environment. So they could have gone a little bit farther and developed the rules that were might be somewhat protective, although fracking is very, very, very dangerous. So it will never be safe. There's no question. It will never be safe. But so they had this broad mandate, but they didn't take it at all. In fact, everybody's crying foul, including some of the environmental groups that were in the talks about these regulations, were in the negotiations about these regulations. So NRDC, the Natural Resource Defense Council, they have been in the newspaper in the past couple of days crying foul that the IDNR is not adhering to their understanding of what the regulatory bill should be determining them to enact. And Sierra Club just came out with a big blast. The Environmental Law and Policy Center, who was also in the negotiating room, they have come out foul. So these rules are not what they should be. So we're saying Frack Free Illinois, we're going one step farther. And we don't think the IDNR is capable of policing this industry. They have been working with the oil and natural gas industry for years to facilitate their drilling and their industry in this state.
And yeah, you bring up a good point that IDNR is trying to serve two masters here, and you know they're supposed to protect our natural resources, but also facilitate the exploitation of natural resources.
That's exactly right.
And and as you mentioned, I got a blast from the Illinois chapter of the Sierra Club, and they're looking at the draft rules, items in the draft rules that need strengthening, including stronger protections against water pollution, closing loopholes to ensure all high-volume fracking is covered, defining threshold questions, uses of foams and gases and base fluids. They're stricter penalties and disclosure. They want to clarify and simplify the process for chemical disclosure. You see, they're my feeling, if this is going to happen at all, and believe me, I'm with you. I think fracking is a dead end, and it's bad for people. You know, in fact, that leads me to a question, Dr. Laura Chamberlain. You don't want fracking. The people you support don't want fracking at all. So are you going to go to this meeting and say we shouldn't be fracking at all, or are you going to get into the nuts and bolts and nitty-gritty of these rules?
Yes, we will. There's a public comment period all the way to January 3rd. So we're studying these rules. We've identified literally dozens and dozens of major holes that the IDNR created for the industry to step through that would be detrimental to the public health and environment. And you named some of them that the Sierra Club agrees with us about the chemical disclosure. So just, you know, everybody talks about the chemical disclosure, right? So this is the companies letting us know the chemicals that they're going to poison us with. So we object to that, right?
Well, being poisoned, yeah, that's a good thing to object to. Yeah,
exactly. We don't think the companies should be able to poison us in the first place. But even the chemical disclosure, even for emergency personnel. So we in August, we sat with the IDNR and we laid out a number of issues, highly important issues to us. And one of them was a chemical disclosure. And we begged them to put the chemical disclosure in the hands of the Illinois Department of Public Health. The Illinois Department of Public Health is on call 24/7. They are doctors and nurses. They know what's medically relevant. They can interact with the emergency personnel in a meaningful way. And in the Regulatory Act, they were allowed to engage the Illinois Department of Public Health. And they did not. So now, in these rules, these draft rules, if there is a frack field accident, which there are blowouts, there are accidents, it's seven times more dangerous on the frack field than any other job in America. So, in fact, there was a blowout recently in Canada, just a couple of days ago, and injured five workers. This happens all the time. So in the middle of the night, the emergency personnel, the ER docs, if they get a frac field worker that's come in and is, you know, splashed with all of these toxic chemicals that they use on the frac fields, they're going to have to contact the IDNR for this chemical composition, because the IDNR is going to, they're going to release some of the chemicals, but some of them, the really bad ones, okay, I guarantee you it's going to be the really bad ones that the companies get to keep as trade secrets. Those trade secrets are going to have to, you're going to have to contact the IDNR, and if it's on only on business days and during working hours, and if it's off business, you know, if it's on the weekends or at night, then you're going to have to track down the frackers to on the fields to find out what these frack field workers were exposed to. That is unacceptable.
And something else that I noticed here, again, from the blast I got from Sierra Club, is public participation. It looks like they're trying to change the rules to avoid public input process by amending the original application. That's obviously not acceptable either. That was the whole point of this law, is that, well, one of the points of the law was that the public was going to have a say in what was going on here and have redress of grievances.
That's exactly right. We are unhappy about that whole process, okay? Because the IDNR has been sitting with the industry this entire time writing these rules. And we went to the IDNR. We asked them to at least contact some independent scientists. We had a number of independent scientists. We said, please contact them and at least talk to them about various aspects of the rules. And they did not. And in the first page of, the third page of the rules that they published, they admit that they did not utilize any published scientific reports or any outside scientific information. So we are really, really, really concerned about this. The IDNR has set up a process for public review that is completely an insider game. Okay, so they get to, the IDNR gets to appoint the hearing officers. They get to determine who has standing, who doesn't. They get to determine, what's false, information, right? Scientific information. So
you're saying that a lot of this is in the hands of IDNR, which could lead to situations that aren't good. We have a call coming in real quick, and then I just lost.
Hello.
Hey, Chris.
Hi, Mike. Real quick question. Now, this IDNR, this is not this independent agency. This is a political arm of the state of Illinois, is it not?
A political arm? Well,
in other words, is not the director appointed by the governor?
I believe so.
And why is NARDA, why we've had now, we're in our 9th year, 10th year of, 11th year of a Democratic governor. Why do we have a political hack like this guy, an industry hack like this guy, in there? What is whatever happened to the Citizens United, what's his name? The current governor.
Oh, Quinn, Pat Quinn.
Yeah, Pat Quinn.
Oh, you mean the environmental governor?
The environmental governor, the Citizens United governor, not Citizens United, but the what was Cubs? What is an acronym for Cub?
Citizens Utility Board.
Citizens Utility Board, the man who's out there looking out for the consumer.
I don't know. I mean, I've been saying that for some time now, and my feeling is I wonder what happened to that guy who was championing environmental rights and that sort of thing when it comes to, say, Starved Rock State Park and the frac sand mines there.
Can't the state legislature, direct the IDNR and tell them to change their policies?
Well, one of the things about IDNR is that it has been understaffed, it has been underfunded. It's, as I said, it's trying to do a couple of things. Dr. Laura, are you back with us here?
Yeah. Yep.
Sorry, lost you for a second, and I'm glad you're back. But you raise a good point, Chris, that this is a difficult situation, and, you know, maybe I need to talk a little more and get somebody to do a little analysis of the IDNR and their role in all of this. But thanks for calling. I appreciate that. Dr. Laura, I got to let you go, too, because I got some other stuff I want to get done, and I want to...
And that is that it seems like a complicated situation, but we are going to have talking points at the hearing. So if people want to come out, we'll give them talking points. And it's Tuesday, November 26th, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at University of Illinois, 726 South Halsted Street, Student Center East, room 302. And we have talking points and all sorts of information up at Frack Free Illinois on Facebook. And we really appreciate the people come out because the governor, yes, needs to be moved on this issue. And yep.
He hasn't said anything. And that's, you know, and Chris's point is well taken as well. And if people want this information, they can my website, MikeNovak.net, go to this week's show. If you scroll down, I got all those links that you're talking about, so people can, and they can actually go to the DNR and up on some of these rules themselves and be prepared, and they can go to Frack Free Illinois, all those places. And again, the meeting.
One last thing, we are sending daily comments into the IDNR because we have till January 3rd.
Yeah.
So we're sending daily comments at one website, ilagainstfracking.org. ilagainstfracking.org won't give you all the information. It'll just give you the daily comment. If people can go there every day, we would really appreciate it. We want to flood the IDNR with comments about how insufficient these rules are, and we really appreciate your time here, Mike.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Dr. Laura. We'll talk to you later. And good luck on the public meeting this Tuesday.
You got it.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
It's a Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. We got it. I still want to get to that Monarch article, and I'm going to do that in just a couple of minutes.
Looking for a housing investment that can pay big dividends? Remodel your kitchen or bathroom. You'll freshen up your home and add value to it, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling needs. Kitchens, bathrooms, master suites, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Hi, this is Ron Calvio from Mighty House. Are you looking for a new ride? Looking for a cool ride? Looking for a ride that you can plug in so you can flip off the guy at the gas station? Well, here's your chance to get one for as little as $40. The Illinois Solar Energy Association is raffling off a 2014 Chevy Volt, and only 3,000 tickets will be sold. So how do you win? Go to illinoisolar.org and click on the link to the Chevy Volt raffle. You can buy one ticket for $40, two tickets for $60, or four tickets for $100. All raffle proceeds will fully benefit the Illinois Solar Energy Association, a nonprofit working to advance solar energy development throughout the state of Illinois. The winner will be drawn at the ISEA member meeting on December 7th, 2013. Again, that's illinoisolar.org to buy your tickets and to get all the small print details.
Allergies acting up, trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure, you're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better? Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Allergies acting up, trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure, you're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better? Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545, or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Good morning. Thank you for listening. Happy to have you here. And the environment is always under pressure, as we know. Let's go to line two, bring in Amtrak Tim. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. Sounds like we're having a long discussion about scarcer and scarcer hydrocarbon resources.
It sure does. I know where you're going with this.
Yeah, hydrocarbons are such a valuable part of the environment. It's almost silly to be burning them. We should be using for more important purposes, like making medicine.
This road then goes to thorium nuclear, right?
Yeah, well, that, and also the four leading environmental and climate scientists coming out and talking about the need to start pursuing nuclear energy.
Uh-huh.
Of course, I'm not really in favor of continuing the uranium route. I'd like to try another route, which you just mentioned.
Uh-huh. Which I'm going to get to. You keep reminding me of that, and there will be a show, and we will discuss that, because I'm not a fan of nuclear in its present form, as you are not as well, right?
That's correct. I think the uranium route was a great way to make nuclear weapons to end World War II, but it's not a way to run a power industry.
No. And as we're seeing out of Fukushima, I don't think we've understood all the consequences of that yet. It's still coming around.
But to get back to our friends at the Illinois DNR, I mean, Mr. Miller is under a tremendous amount of pressure. His budget's been cut so many times.
Yes.
I mean, I'm really kind of concerned he's being fiscally compromised, because he's getting no support from the legislature to give him staff. If you go to the Illinois DNR website, the closure list never gets shorter. It never gets shorter because they're so starved for cash. I mean, I think one of the ways to solve the frack problem and maybe get rid of the compromise that's being so compromised is we've got to figure out a way to actually start funding the Illinois DNR.
I agree. And in my worldview, and this will never happen, but in my worldview, there's two agencies. There's one that protects our natural resources, and then there's the other that exploits the natural resources, so that you're not trying to play both ends against the middle the way IDNR does. And ultimately, it seems like our natural environment gets short shrift in favor of pulling, extracting the fossil fuels out of the ground. So that's my way of looking at it. But you're right. It is terribly, IDNR is terribly underfunded. Although I recently, weren't some funds restored to IDNR?
What they did is they went, now on all of our license plates, there's a $1 fee which is going to the Illinois DNR, which is very helpful. But I wonder if the state needs to think about going to a tag system like they have up in Wisconsin and in Michigan. As much as I hate to see that, some sort of independent funding mechanism so they're not beholden to industry like they are right now.
Yeah. All right. Well, Tim, I appreciate the comment. We will have that program, and I'm glad you were listening. I'm glad you called in.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right. I was talking about this story in the Sunday Review of the New York Times. I'm going to read some of it, probably not the whole thing, but you need to know this stuff. Jim Robbins wrote this, and he writes, on the 1st of November, when Mexicans celebrate a holiday called Day of the Dead, some also celebrate the millions of monarch butterflies that without fail fly to the mountainous fir forests of central Mexico on that day. They are believed to be souls of the dead returned. This year, for the first time in memory, the monarch butterflies didn't come, at least not on the Day of the Dead. They began to straggle in a week later than usual in record low numbers. Last year was low at 60 million. Now seems great compared with the fewer than 3 million that have shown up so far this year. Some experts fear that the spectacular migration could be near collapse. It does not look good, said Lincoln P. Brower, a monarch expert at Sweetbriar College. It is only the latest bad news about the dramatic decline of insect populations. Another insect in serious trouble is the wild bee, which has thousands of species. Nicotine-based pesticides called neonicotinoids are implicated in their decline. But even if they were no longer used, experts say bees, monarchs, and many other species of insect would still be in serious trouble. That's because of another major factor that has not been widely recognized: the precipitous loss of native vegetation across the United States. There's no question that the loss of habitat is huge, said Douglas Tallamy, a professor of entomology at the University of Delaware, who has long warned of the perils of disappearing insects. He's been on this show a couple of times to talk about this. Quoting him again, "We notice the monarch and bees because they are iconic insects," he said. "But what do you think is happening to everything else? A big part of it is the way the United States farms. As the price of corn has soared in recent years, driven by federal subsidies for biofuels, farmers have expanded their fields. That has meant plowing every scrap of earth that can grow a corn plant, including millions of acres of land once reserved in a federal program for conservation purposes. Another major cause is farming with Roundup, a herbicide that kills virtually all plants except crops that are genetically modified to survive it. As a result, millions of acres of native plants, especially milkweed, an important source of nectar for many species and vital for monarch butterfly larvae, have been wiped out. One study showed that Iowa has lost almost 60% of its milkweed, and another found that 90% was gone. The agricultural landscape has been sterilized, said Dr. Brower. The loss of bugs is no small matter. Insects help stitch together the web of life with essential services, breaking plants down into organic matter, for example, and dispersing seeds. They are a prime source of food for birds. Critically, some 80% of our food crops are pollinated by insects, primarily the 4,000 or so species of the flying dust mops called bees. All of them are in trouble, said Marla Spivak, a professor of apiculture at University of Minnesota. Farm fields are not the only problem. Around the world, people have replaced diverse natural habitat with the biological deserts that are roads, parking lots, and blue grass lawns. Meanwhile, the plants people choose for their yards are appealing for showy colors or shapes, not for their ecological role. Studies show that native oak trees in the mid-Atlantic states host as many as 537 species of caterpillars, which are important food for birds and other insects. Willows come in second with 456 species. Ginkgo, on the other hand, which is not native, supports three species. And Zelkova, an exotic plant, a plant used to replace elm trees that died from disease, supports none. So the shelves are nearly bare for bugs and birds. Native trees are not only grocery stores, but insect pharmacies as well. Trees and other plants have beneficial chemicals essential to the health of bugs. Some monarchs, when afflicted with parasites, seek out more toxic types of milkweed because they kill the parasites. Bees use medicine resins from aspen and willow trees that are antifungal, antimicrobial, and antiviral to line their nests and to fight infection and diseases. Bees scrape off resins from the leaves, which is kind of awesome, stick them on their back legs, and take them home, said Dr. Spivak. Besides pesticides and lack of habitat, the other big problem bees face is disease. But these problems are not separate. You say you have a bee with viruses, and they are run down, Dr. Spivak said. And they are in a food desert and have to fly long distance. And when you find food, it has complicated neurotoxins in and their immune system just goes, uh-uh. Or they become disoriented and can't find their way home. It's too many stressors all at once. There are numerous organizations and individuals dedicated to rebuilding native plant communities, one sterile lawn and farm field at a time. Dr. Tallamy, a longtime evangelizer for native plants and the author of one of the movement's manuals, Bringing Nature Home, and I advise everybody to get a copy of that, says it's a cause everyone with a garden or yard can serve. And he says support for it needs to develop quickly to slow down the worsening crisis in biodiversity. And that's kind of it. There's a little more, and I'm running out of time here. And I advise people
to pay attention. We are dismantling our environment, brick by brick, insect by insect, plant by plant. And it's time we paid attention. I'm going to tell people to go to that article again. Wonderful article by Jim Robbins in the New York Times Sunday Review. The link is up on my website, mikenovak.net. Scroll down under the headline, Other Things on the Radar Screen. You'll find it there. And I hope people take the time to take a look at it, because we are running out of time. Okay. Got a lot accomplished today. A lot of it intense, except for Homegrown. Go online. Go to Keith Fathom Cross. Get yourself a copy of Homegrown and listen to the positive side of things. And I want to thank Rob.
Hey.
Carthol, Carol Brewer. Go green or...
Go home.
Go home.